All right, let's dive deep into injection molding materials today. We've got some excerpts from an article. It really breaks down how to pick the right material for your molds. And trust me, this is important stuff. Choosing the wrong material, well, wasted time, wasted money, and a whole lot of frustration.
Yeah, it's like, think about building a house. You wouldn't use straw for the foundation, right? Mm-hmm. Especially if you wanted to, you know, withstand a hurricane. Same idea with injection molding. That material you choose, it's crucial.
Correct.
Strength, durability, success of your project.
Exactly. Our source material walks us through some of the most popular options: P20, H13, S136 steel, you know, a few others too. But it's more than just knowing the names, right? We need to understand the why. Like, why P20 over H13? Or the other way around, what are those key decision points?
Well, one of the first things they dive into is batch size. How many pieces are you actually planning to produce? That's major when you're picking a material.
Okay, yeah, makes sense. I'm guessing different materials are better suited for different, you know, production scales.
Oh, absolutely. Think of it this way. Small batch of custom parts, maybe a few hundred. You might go with something like P20 steel. The article calls it a workhorse for smaller runs.
Workhorse. I like that. So P20 can handle the job, but I'm guessing it's probably also pretty cost effective.
Exactly. And another thing with P20, it's pre-hardened. It's already been heat treated to a certain hardness, so it's ready to go for machining. Saves you time and money on extra processing.
So it's ready to hit the ground running. But what about those larger runs, like thousands, maybe even millions of parts? Is P20 still the right choice?
And for those huge runs, you need a material that can take a beating, and that's where H13 steel comes in.
Okay, H13, the heavy hitter. What makes it so durable?
H13 steel is known for its high hot hardness and wear resistance. It can withstand the heat and pressure of injection molding over and over again without losing its shape.
I see why material selection is so important. It's not just about the quality of the mold itself, mm-hmm. but how it holds up over time, right? Oh, especially for mass production.
Exactly. Picking the right material up front can save you so many headaches later on. In fact, the article shares a story, a company that learned this the hard way. They chose a less durable material for a huge production run. And you know what? The molds started wearing out way too soon.
Oh, that sounds like a nightmare. So they had to replace the molds sooner than expected. I bet that hit their budget hard.
Yeah, they lost time, money, probably some credibility with their customers too.
Okay, so lesson learned. Batch size is a big deal. Got to match the material to the scale of production. But I'm guessing there are other factors at play here too. Not all products are the same. Some need incredible precision, you know, down to the tiniest detail.
You're right. And when you need that level of precision, S136 steel is in a league of its own.
S136, all right. What makes it so special for this kind of precision work?
One key thing is its super low thermal expansion. Think about it. When you inject hot plastic into a mold, the mold heats up. But S136 steel, it's so stable under heat, it barely expands or contracts at all.
Wow, so the dimensions stay incredibly consistent.
Exactly. This means that those fine details in your design, they'll be reproduced perfectly in the final product.
So it's like having a mold that's basically immune to warping or distortion, even under high heat.
Exactly. And that stability, it's crucial for those intricate parts, where even a tiny deviation can mess everything up. The article even mentions S136 can achieve surface smoothness down to 0.01 mil.
0.01, that is mind-bogglingly small.
Right. It's incredible. The level of precision we're talking about here, think medical devices, tiny gears in a watch, optical components, those applications demand this kind of accuracy.
Okay, so we've got P20 for those smaller, more cost-effective runs, H13 for the big jobs, the mass production, and S136 when we need ultimate precision. But it sounds like there's more to consider than just the material itself, right? Mm. What about the environment where these molds are being used?
You're on the right track. The working environment plays a huge role in what material you should choose. Temperature, humidity, even exposure to certain chemicals. All of that can impact how well your molds perform and how long they last.
It's kind of like choosing the right clothes for the weather. You wouldn't wear, you know, a swimsuit to the Arctic.
Exactly. And just like you need special gear for extreme temperatures, your molds need materials that can handle the heat. If you're working with high temperature plastics, that is.
So what's the go-to in those situations when things get really hot? I mean,
for high temperature applications, beryllium bronze alloy is a great option. It's got exceptional thermal conductivity, meaning it can dissipate heat quickly and efficiently.
Right. The article compared it to a fan in a hot room, circulating the air, keeping things cool.
That's a good way to think about it. Beryllium bronze alloy helps prevent those hot spots. you know, the ones that can lead to inconsistencies in your parts.
So it's like a built-in cooling system for your mold. Clever. But what about humidity? The article mentioned some cautionary tales about corrosion.
Yeah, humidity can be a real problem if you're not careful. If you're working in a humid environment, you absolutely need a material that can resist corrosion.
And what's the best choice there?
Stainless steel 420 is great for humid environments. It's highly resistant to corrosion. It can handle the moisture without breaking down.
So the beryllium bronze for the heat, stainless steel 420 for the humidity. It's about matching the material to the environment, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You wouldn't send a knight into battle without the right armor. And you wouldn't send the mold into a humid environment without the right protection.
Great analogy. But beyond handling the heat or humidity, there's also the matter of actually making these molds. Some materials are tougher to machine, right? And that can add time and expense to the process.
Absolutely. The article also talked about the importance of machinability. How easily can you cut, shape, and finish the material? Time is money, after all. And we want to make those molds as efficiently as possible. So,
which materials are the easiest to work with in that sense?
P20 steel is great in this area. It's known for its excellent machinability. Cuts cleanly, holds tight tolerances. You can get a smooth, high-quality surface. It's a favorite among mold makers because it means faster production and less finishing work.
So P20 is like a triple threat. Cost-effective for smaller batches, machines easily, and it can even handle some heat. Pretty versatile.
Yeah, it is. But like we've been talking about, it's all about trade-offs, the article pointed out. Sometimes you need something even tougher, even more wear resistant. That's where things like cemented carbide come in.
Cemented carbide, that sounds intense.
It is. Incredibly hard and wear resistant.
Yeah.
But machining it, that's a whole other challenge. The article compared it to taming a wild horse.
Wow.
You need special tools, slower cutting speeds, more expertise.
So it's the ultimate workhorse, but it comes with a whole set of challenges.
Exactly. It all depends on what you need and what your priorities are. Sometimes that extra durability is worth the extra effort and cost.
This really highlights the importance of understanding those trade-offs. It's not just about the best material, but the best one for your specific situation.
You got it. And that's where this article really shines. It gives you the knowledge to make those decisions based on your own requirements.
So we've talked about batch size, precision, the working environment, machinability. Anything else we should be thinking about?
Oh, one more crucial thing the article highlighted, cost. Got to balance performance with your budget, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes spending more on a better material can save you money in the long run.
Right. It's like investing in a high-quality tool. It might cost more upfront, but it'll last longer, perform better. You'll save money on replacements and repairs.
Exactly. The article talked about using domestic 45 steel for simpler molds where cost is the biggest factor.
So if you're working on a straightforward project, you don't need to go all out on fancy materials. But then on the other end of the spectrum, they mention these high-grade imported steels like PX88, pricier up front, but they can really enhance your product.
It's incredible. Investing in a top-of-the-line chef's knife, it might seem expensive.
Yeah.
But the quality, the precision, the durability, it pays off in the end, especially if you're a pro who uses it every day.
Great analogy. So the question becomes, how do you weigh that cost of a premium material against the potential increase in product value and profit?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? And it's something each listener will have to consider. What are your goals? What's your budget? What level of performance and durability do you absolutely need?
And that brings us to a challenge for our listeners. We've covered a lot of ground today. Now it's your turn to apply it. How would you weigh the cost of a material like PX88 against the potential increase in product value and profit? It's a strategic decision, and now you've got the insights to make it.
We'll be back in just a moment to continue our deep dives into the world of mold materials. Stay tuned.
Welcome back. I hope you've had a moment to think about that question because it gets to the core of why understanding these materials is so crucial. It's not just knowing the names. It's about knowing how to use them to make incredible products.
That's it. It's about strategy. Like we were saying, even a small difference in material properties could have a huge impact on your whole production process.
Absolutely. I think the example of P20 versus H13 really shows that. The article did a great job explaining not just what they are, but why those properties matter for different scales of production.
Right. It's easy to just say H13 is good for mass production.
Yeah.
But the article goes deeper. It explains that H13 steel, it has a specific microstructure. It's full of these tiny, super hard carbides that are like incredibly resistant to wear.
So it's not just the steel itself, it's what's going on at a microscopic level. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and those microscopic details, they translate to real-world benefits. H13 can withstand a ton of wear and tear, so you can make molds that last for millions of cycles.
That's huge, especially for companies making thousands or even millions of parts.
Yeah.
Fewer mold replacements, less downtime, ultimately lower costs.
Exactly. That's what I mean by being strategic.
Yeah. You're not just choosing a material. You're choosing a solution
right.
that optimizes your whole process.
Absolutely.
That's a great way to put it. It's seeing the bigger picture, understanding how those material choices impact the bottom line.
For sure.
And the same thinking applies to precision, too. For some products, even the tiniest flaw can be a huge problem.
Yeah.
I remember the article talked about S136 steel.
Yeah.
As the go-to for those ultra-precise applications. But they didn't just say it's precise. They explained why. It's all about that low thermal expansion, right?
Exactly. It's fascinating, actually. Most materials, they expand when they heat up. And that expansion can mess with your mold accuracy.
Right.
But S136 steel, it has an incredibly low coefficient of thermal expansion.
Yeah.
It's practically unfazed by heat, meaning the mold dimensions stay super consistent, even when you're injecting hot plastic.
It's like the mold is immune to warping. No matter how hot it gets, it holds its shape perfectly,
right.
Essential for those intricate products where every micron matters.
Yeah, exactly. And that stability.
Mm-hmm.
It helps you achieve amazing surface finishes, which is so important for medical devices, optical components. The article mentioned that S136 can get down to 0.01 down, practically invisible.
That's wild. Makes you realize how much precision is possible with the right material, that is. But it's not just about the material itself again, is it? We also need to consider where these molds will be used. I mean, some factories are hot and humid. Others might have harsh chemicals.
Yeah, that's crucial. The working environment can really make or break your molds.
For sure.
The article had a good example with beryllium bronze alloy.
Oh, yeah. They were talking about how beryllium bronze is great for thermal stability. Like a fan in a hot room.
Yeah.
Keeping everything cool.
Right. But the analogy doesn't tell the whole story. Beryllium bronze's ability to handle heat, it's because of its crystal structure. The way the atoms are arranged allows heat to flow through really easily.
So it's like having a mold with a built-in cooling system.
Yeah.
And it prevents those hot spots that can mess up your parts.
Exactly.
Pretty cool.
And then you've got humidity, which can be a real silent killer for molds.
Yeah, the article mentioned some horror stories. Molds corroding, rusting in humid environments.
Uh-huh.
Not good.
Definitely not. And that's where understanding those material properties comes in.
Mm-hmm.
If you know you'll be dealing with humidity, you can pick a material that's resistant to corrosion,
mm-hmm.
like stainless steel 420.
So, beryllium bronze for heat, stainless steel for humidity. Equip your molds with the right armor for the job.
Exactly.
Speaking of jobs, even if you choose the perfect material, there's still the matter of actually making the molds. Some materials are harder to machine, which means more time and money.
Very true.
The machinability is a big deal.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And P20 steel does really well there. Excellent machinability.
Mm-hmm.
Cuts cleanly. Holds tight tolerances. Nice smooth surface.
So it's easy to work with.
Yeah, it's a favorite for mold makers. Faster production. Less finishing work needed.
P20 is checking all the boxes. Cost effective. Handles heat. Machines easily. Versatile.
It is. But remember, trade-offs. Sometimes you need something even tougher, something more wear resistant, like cemented carbide.
Cemented carbide.
Yep, super durable with stands a ton of wear and tear. But machining it, a whole other story. It's like carving a statue out of granite. You need special tools, got to go slow, a lot more patience.
So, super tough, but also super challenging.
Yeah, it all comes down to what you need, what's most important for your project. Sometimes that durability is worth the extra effort.
This really shows how important it is to understand those trade-offs. It's not about finding the best material overall. It's about finding the best material for your specific needs.
You got it.
No one-size-fits-all solution.
Exactly.
This has been so insightful. It's amazing how much goes into picking the right material.
Yeah.
It's not just choosing a name off a list. It's about understanding the properties, the trade-offs, how those choices affect everything.
Absolutely.
It's about being strategic.
Thinking ahead, yeah.
Anticipating challenges, choosing materials that help you make great products.
Well said.
And before we move on, I want to go back to that question we asked earlier. How would you weigh the cost of a material like PX88 against the potential increase in product value and profit?
It's a great question. It gets at the heart of how to make smart decisions. It's not always about the lowest cost up front. It's about understanding the long-term value.
Right.
What kind of return on investment can you get?
Right. And as we've seen, The choice of material can impact everything.
It really can.
Efficiency, precision, durability, even the perceived value of the product.
Wow.
Okay, well, we've covered a lot of ground in this part of our deep dive. We've explored these materials, talked about what makes them unique, and how those properties affect real-world results.
We talked about a lot, yeah.
Batch size, precision, working environment, machinability, cost.
What?
All crucial.
All important factors.
And we've emphasized being strategic, thinking ahead, weighing the trade-offs, choosing the materials that help you create high-quality products.
Absolutely.
Great. We'll be back in just a moment for the final part of our deep dive. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the deep dive. We've been exploring injection molding materials. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of blown away by how much there is to think about.
It's definitely not just pick a steel and go. There's a lot to it. Science, strategy, even a little bit of art, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And that's what I like about our source material. They give us those real-world examples. It's not just theory. It's seeing how these decisions actually play out.
Right. Like, remember that company that tried to save money?
Mm-hmm.
By using a less durable material?
Yeah.
For a huge production run.
Oh, yeah. Big mistake. Their molds were out so fast.
It was.
They must have lost a lot of sleep over that one.
It's like they say.
Yeah.
Penny wise and pound foolish.
Mm.
They saved a little up front.
Mm-hmm.
But paid for it in the long run.
It's like building a house on a shaky foundation. You might get away with it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to catch up to you.
Exactly.
And Lee saw how investing in a premium material like PX88 can actually save you money for certain products. That extra quality and performance is worth it. It's like a basic kitchen knife versus a really nice chef's knife.
I like that analogy. You pay more for the good knife, but it's going to last longer, cut better.
Exactly. And those strategic choices can really elevate your product.
For sure.
So we talked about durability, cost, performance. What about when precision is the most important thing? The article talked a lot about S136 steel for those situations.
Yeah. When you need that level of precision, S136 is really the best option.
Well, that makes it so special.
It's the low thermal expansion.
It's almost like it's defying physics. Most things expand when they get hot, but not S136.
It's remarkable. And that stability is what allows you to create such precise molds. The dimensions stay so consistent, you can achieve tolerances and surface finishes that are impossible with other materials.
It's like a mold that's immune to warping.
Pretty much.
That's got to be essential for things like medical devices.
Absolutely. Medical devices, microelectronics, optical components, anytime you can't have even the slightest imperfection.
S136 when you need the best of the best. But we can't forget about the environment. These molds are going to be working in real-world conditions.
Right.
Hot factories, humid factories.
The article had some good examples of that, like using beryllium bronze for high-temperature plastics.
Yeah, they said it was like a fan in a hot room, keeping everything cool.
A good way to visualize it.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, beryllium bronze can do that because of its crystal structure. The way the atoms are arranged, it lets heat flow through really easily.
You need a built-in heat sink.
Exactly.
And then there's humidity. We talked about how that can be a real problem.
Definitely.
Corrosion, rust.
Not good.
So you need a material that can handle that.
Like stainless steel 420.
So, beryllium bronze for heat, stainless steel for humidity, the right cool for the job.
Exactly.
And then we have to think about actually making the molds.
Right.
Some materials are harder to machine, and that takes time and money.
Machinability is a big factor.
For sure.
P20 steel does really well there.
P20 again? What can it do?
It's a popular choice.
Yeah.
Easy to machine, good results.
Sometimes you need even more.
Right. More toughness, more wear resistance.
Cemented carbide.
That's the one. But it's tough to work with.
Like carving a statue out of granite.
Yeah, pretty much.
You need the right tools, the right skills.
It's a trade-off. Durability for difficulty.
This has been such a great deep dive. So much to learn about these materials.
There is.
It's been fascinating.
I agree.
We've talked about so many things. Batch size, precision, working environment, machinability, cost. And most importantly, we've talked about being strategic. Thinking ahead, choosing the right materials for the job.
Absolutely.
Well, we've reached the end of our deep dive.
Time flies.
We hope you enjoyed it, and we hope you learned a lot. Remember, the world of materials is always changing, so stay curious and keep exploring.
Until next time.
Keep diving deep.